Please pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. In her book, Accidental Saints, Finding God in All the Wrong People, Nadia Bowles Weber tells the story of her final encounter with a woman named Suzanne. Dressed in a black clergy shirt, she sat at the bedside of this woman whose body was ravaged with cancer. Nadia asked Suzanne to tell her the things that lay on her conscience and then proclaimed to her the word of God, that God is more powerful than her biggest mess-ups and that she is forgiven. Nadia freed Suzanne from the chains that bound her. 20 years before, though, Suzanne had offered the same to Nadia. At the time, Nadia was a seminary student of a different type. She was tattooed, angry, and profane. She had been a former stand-up comic, former addict, and was inherently rough around the edges. The denominational bureaucrat took issue with some of Nadia's habits and put her path to ordination on hold. Nadia was furious, but she was also riddled with seminary debt and unsure now what to do with her life. Suzanne offered up her spare bedroom to Nadia, but more importantly, Suzanne saw something in Nadia that no one else could see. She saw through Nadia's tough outer skin to the sinner slash child of God slash pastor on the inside. Suzanne believed in her and offered her a word of forgiveness. Suzanne freed Nadia to serve God and be the person God meant Nadia to be. And now 20 years later, Nadia freed Suzanne. To be bound. The term has so many different meanings. Books need to be bound. So do bundles of sticks if we don't want to lose any. And you've got to put enough egg into a cake mix so that the ingredients bind together. Otherwise, you get a mess and not a cake. Yet binding can take upon an entirely different set of meanings. The binding of Isaac by Abraham is one of the hardest texts in the Old Testament to understand. To be bound by chains, either literally or figuratively, is beyond what some of us can imagine. Think slavery. Think Unchained, the group in Knoxville committed to freeing girls from sex trafficking. And then there was the psychological binding, being bound by our thoughts and afflictions, our past, and even refusing to let go. And today, the 4 days dead Lazarus obeys Jesus' command. Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" And the dead man came out of the tomb, but remained physically bound. His hands and his feet are bound with strips of cloth, and his face is wrapped in a cloth. And when Lazarus comes out, and he does indeed choose to come out, Jesus doesn't run over and hug his friend, the friend for whom he wept. He doesn't now weep tears of joy. He doesn't hug Mary and Martha and rejoice. Instead, Jesus does something else. Instead, Jesus tells Mary and Martha, the disciples, and all the Jews who were hanging around to unbind him and let him go. Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead and then invited the community to unbind him. The community was called upon to set Lazarus free. It's a two-part process, a resurrection and an unbinding. The resurrection is not always the end of the story. God raised the dead. Lazarus had to choose to come out, and the people's role as witnesses to this raising from the dead was to unbind their friend Lazarus. God gives us this task to do on behalf of each other. For no one can truly be free and raised from the dead unless they are also unbound. Unbind him and let him go. The community is called to get involved, not just to witness, but to do something. to play a part in the ongoing work God is doing in this world and to be a partner with God in the resurrection. We are the ones who have to let the risen one go free. How many of us have ever experienced a resurrection, either ourselves or the resurrection of another? Perhaps the resurrection was when we truly found Christ. Or maybe it was when we lost a significant amount of weight, or conquered a health problem, or the dreaded cancer was finally in remission. Perhaps we left behind a job or a toxic relationship, or conquered an addiction like Nadia did. Maybe we offered or received true forgiveness, or maybe we even found our own life again after the death of a loved one. How did it feel to be resurrected and to be touched by the divine grace of God, to come out of the tomb, to have a skip in our step instead of a slump in our posture, to wake up in the morning and see the light instead of the dark? Thanks be to God for the resurrection. Thanks be to God for the new life, the glorious, glorious new life. But those of us who have experienced a resurrection know, though, that at times the story is not always over. God forgives us, but can we forgive each other? How many resurrections do we know of which have failed? Heaven forbid, but do we ever keep those we love bound in their old ways and in their old life? Can we let go of the old person and the habits that bound them? Or does resurrection fail because she can't undo all the bindings and strips of cloth by herself? Do we ever keep ourselves bound, hold grudges, refuse to forgive, but hold on to resentments, even 40, 50, 60-year-old resentments, almost like a badge of honor? Carol Howard Merritt, a Presbyterian minister and author, tells the story of sitting at her father's hospice bed, waiting for death to come. The father-daughter relationship had been strained for the entirety of Carol's life. Arguments, disappointments, abandonment. And now, after traveling hundreds of miles, Carol sat at the bedside and listened to her father's death rattle. She desperately hoped for that final sweet talk that we all hear about and dream about, when in the last moments of life, apologies are offered, forgiveness is granted, and peace is made. But instead, when her father finally realized that Carol was there, he uttered a demand to her in an irritated voice. And even now, as an adult, she did what she was told, and then she stepped out to calm her tears. And while she was gone, he died. Their final encounter was yet another in a long line of disappointments. But after she died, she expected life to reach a new normal. But instead, she lost weight and grew disoriented. She no longer slept, but worked ridiculous hours and lived in a fog. She cried unexpectedly. And she ultimately realized that although her father was dead, she had never forgiven him. Her resentments had bound her to her father even after his death. She had finally heard the command of Jesus, though, unbind him and let him go. And piece by piece, she forgave and unbound her father. And as each piece was let go, she learned that love remained. In our resurrections, God breathes life back into these dead bones of ours. I absolutely love the vision imagery from our Old Testament lesson today. Ezekiel sees the bones lying dead and dormant in the valley, And God joins these dead bones with sinew and causes flesh to come upon them. God covers them with skins, and then in the most poignant part, God breathes life into these bones, just like he breathed life into Adam. God promises again and again and again and again to intervene for us, to forgive us no matter what we've done, to step into our lives and give us life and hope and being, and to raise us from whatever tomb we happen to be in. God promises, I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live. But what's really cool about this whole thing is that we are all invited, authorized, and commissioned to offer the same forgiveness and grace to each other, and to remind each other of God's grace, to come out of the tomb, unbind each other, unbind ourselves so that we can live into the fullness of life that God promises and gives us each and every day. Unbind him and let him go.